The words on the screen are the words of Jesus. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. They come from the Lord Jesus Christ when he was preaching on one occasion in Galilee, and he was preaching a sermon on a mountainside. And he said what we call these Beatitudes, and this is one of them. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. I want us to go to the book of Romans, not to continue our series in Romans, but to take there a few verses that speak about peace. And we start with Romans chapter 5. This is page 1132. I want to speak about peace this morning. When I worked on the southern newspapers down in Bournemouth, there were three newspapers in this group, the southern newspapers. There was Weymouth, Bournemouth, and Southampton. There's always a little bit of friendly rivalry between them. And our assistant manager over all the southern newspapers was a man called Brian Makepeace. Oh, what a great name, Makepeace. And he was a great assistant manager of the whole of the company. And he would actually come into our offices and he would just sit down with us and find out what we needed, what was going on, and everything. It was a really nice guy. He lived up to his name, Makepeace. And then I found out he was a Southampton season ticket holder, and I just went off him a bit, but he was a lovely chap. Sometimes when I go out preaching in various churches, I'm introduced as Mr. Peace. And I think, oh, that's quite nice, actually. I'll keep that. And I think, actually, shall I correct people or shall I just keep the peace? I decided to keep the peace. Because we all want peace. But sometimes peace comes at a great cost. These words of Jesus, blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called children of God. He was the ultimate peacemaker and paid the ultimate cost for us to have peace. Jesus promises two things in this beatitude, that if you are a peacemaker, one, you will be blessed. That's what he says. Blessed are the peacemakers. What is it to be blessed? It's really hard to describe. It's that unspeakable quality of feeling on the inside. It's the ultimate feel-good factor to be blessed. If you are a peacemaker, this is what you will experience, blessing. Second thing it says here, that if you are a peacemaker, you will be known as a child of God. You will know Almighty God as your Father. You will receive his love and security and care. And this will be your identity, a child of God. So if you are a peacemaker, one, you'll experience blessing, and two, you'll have a great identity. You'll be known as a child of God. And I don't think we need any more motivation than that in order to be a peacemaker. So how then can we be peacemakers, blessed and children of God? There's four things we need to do to be peacemakers. The first is this. We need to be at peace with God. We need to be at peace with God. We'll never make peace with people if we are not at peace with God. It's sad to see today many people living out such angry lives. There do seem to be so many angry people around these days. They're out of sorts with themselves, out of sorts with society, out of sorts with others, and they're out of sorts with God. And we need to be at peace with God, our Creator, if we want to make peace with people, His creation. But Romans chapter 5, verse 10 defines our problem. Romans 5, verse 10, for if, while we were God's enemies, that's speaking about us, we were God's enemies. That's a bit stark, you might say. You say, I might not believe in God, I might not acknowledge him, I might ignore him, I might have no time for him, but I'm not his enemy. That's a bit too over the top, God's enemies. well, maybe you're not an enemy of God with the kind of God that you've made up in your mind, the God of your imagination, the doddery old man God in the sky who just sits helplessly by as the world blows itself to bits. Maybe you're not at war with that kind of God, or maybe you're not at war with the kind of God that you think is a Father Christmas God who just smiles and gives presents. And maybe you're not at war with the kind of God you've made up in your mind to be a teddy bear kind of God, just to be soft, nice, and to cuddle you. No, you're not at war with that kind of God, the God of your imagination. But when it comes to the God of the Scriptures, the God that the Bible reveals to be the true and the living God, the sovereign God, the King of the nations who demands righteousness and obedience from us, the holy God who expects us to live in a certain kind of way, then you'll say, I don't want that kind of God. I don't like that kind of God. I want to do what I want to do. Thank you very much. No, people do not like the God of the Bible. And there is sometimes, actually very often, direct hostility towards God. He gets blamed for so much. And it's crazy that people who don't believe in God actually blame God for things. How can you blame someone you don't believe exists? It's like if I went round the house and making all the mistakes that I make and I suddenly say, oh, I blame Johnny McKeamy. Johnny McKeamy's wrong. Oh, I've done something wrong. It's Johnny McKeamy's fault. And then my wife says to me, who's Johnny McKeamy? And I say, I don't know, I just made him up. So how can you blame him? I don't know, just want someone to blame. She goes, that's daft. This is so with, same with God, isn't it? If you don't believe in God, don't blame God for anything. No, the Bible tells us here that we are God's enemies. People are against God. We've got a hostile heart to him. So if we're God's enemies, something needs to happen to change that status, that relationship with him. And that's what Paul says in the rest of verse 10. For if while we were God's enemies, we were reconciled to him through the death of his son. There's this reconciliation that takes place with God through the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. He paid the ultimate price that we might no longer be enemies of God and against him, but friends of God and with him, so that we might be at peace with God. So look at verse 1 of chapter 5. Therefore, since we have been justified through faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. It's through Jesus that our status with God changes. It's through Jesus that our relationship with God changes. We're no longer his enemies, but his friend. We're no longer against him or he against us, but he is for us and we are for him because of the death of Jesus Christ on the cross. And this is a great thing, that once you are at peace with God, you will then want to be a peacemaker. You will want to go out and give others that reconciliation that you yourself have experienced with God. So if we want to be peacemakers, the first thing is that we need to be at peace with God. There's a second thing. We need to live at peace with God. To live at peace with God. So we need to have his peace in our lives. See, once we have the peace with God, we can then have and enjoy the peace of God in our lives. If we're at war with God, we'll never have his peace in our lives. But once we're reconciled to him, then the way is open for his peace to be poured into our lives so that we can then become channels of his peace. The peace of God. You know, the scriptures tell us that this peace of God passes all understanding. So it's really hard to explain what it is, because it passes understanding. But it's a real thing. You know, today there's not just so many angry people around in our world, but there are so many agitated people around in our world as well. Highly strung people who will snap your head off easily. They walk around us so as to create a storm. They're never happy unless they have something to complain about, and they're always kicking off about something. Those people have no peace in their lives, in their minds, their hearts, or their inner being. There are so many people who are walking storm bringers rather than peacemakers. The Bible tells us we can know the peace of God in our lives so that we can live at peace with ourselves and others. Look at Romans chapter 15. Come over 10 chapters to Romans 15. In Romans 15, there's two verses here I want us to see. First is this, verse 33. Romans 15, 33. The God of peace be with you all. This is our God. He's a God of peace, and he can be with us, walking alongside us, even in us. And he can actually give us that peace. So he's the God of peace who gives his peace. And that's what verse 13 says of Romans 15. So look back up at verse 13. May the God of hope fill you with all joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you may overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit. So may this God of peace, this God of hope, may he fill you with peace. What a tremendous thing that is, to be filled with peace. Jesus once said, "My peace I give to you." Now we said that this peace is hard to explain. It is something which is better felt and experienced than actually understood. It's a kind of an inner calmness, a serenity of your spirit, a composure of your mind. Once you've got the peace of God within you, that enables you to pray and to accept the things you cannot change. It gives you the courage to change the things you can and wisdom to know the difference. But in order for that to be a reality, you need the peace of God in your life because you're at peace with him. Once you've got the peace of God in your life, you can live in a composed way and keep life and all its difficulties in perspective. I read a book a few years ago now. It was called Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. It was one of the bestsellers, I think, a few years ago. And it was a good book. There was a little bit of incipient Buddhism in it, but if you're discerning, you can take that out. But there's this, Don't Sweat the Small Stuff. And there's a lot of life which is small stuff, which we make really big stuff. And we get all het up about the small stuff that we've made the big stuff, and we're not at peace. And we don't experience God's peace. There can be road rage and trolley rage. Things can make you mad and fly off the handle. You get all het up. But once you've got the peace of God in your life, you're Joey-like on Friends. You know, hey, okay, it's just stuff. It's just small stuff. But you need the peace of God for you, that to happen. Otherwise, you will fly off the handle easy. Otherwise, you will get all agitated and run around trying to solve everybody's problems when you can't. No, once you've got the peace of God in your life, because you're at peace with God, then you become a channel of God's peace. You can be a peacemaker. And you're not walk around like a walking storm cloud, leaving a trail of destruction. But you're walking around as a channel of peace, leaving behind reconciled and repaired and healed lives and relationships. So that's the second thing. First, if you want to be a peacemaker and be blessed and a child of God, be at peace with God. Second, live at peace with God because you've got his peace within you. Third, live at peace with people. Hold on, you say. I like the idea of being at peace with God. Sounds nice. I like the idea of having the peace of God in my life. That sounds wonderful. But living at peace with people, you're joking. Do you know what people are like? But we'll never be peacemakers if we don't try to live at peace with people. Now, no one is saying this is easy to live at peace with people. There is this strange amount of hostility that's around today, especially seemingly in politics, but also on our streets and in our schools and in some homes as well. And it seems to me that many TV interviews seem to be set up and designed to antagonize the interviewee and those who listen, not to live at peace with people. And so the Bible then is really very realistic about how hard it is to live at peace with people. It's not saying it's easy at all. So come to Romans chapter 12. Romans 12. And if you look at Romans 12 and verse 18, the Apostle Paul writes this: "If it is possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone." See how realistic that is. The Bible is nothing if it's not real. It acknowledges that we live in a fallen world. So here's what we are to do: live at peace with everyone. But there's two things about that. One, if it's possible. And two, as far as it depends upon you. You can never control another person's actions or reactions, but your own you can. So if it's possible, and as far as it depends upon you, live at peace with everyone. Now that's realistic, isn't it? If it's possible and if it depends upon you. You try to get along with some people, and you try to help them get along with someone else, and they don't want to, and they're snarling people, they want to fight, they don't like you, they don't like other people, they probably don't even like themselves. And it's just not possible to live at peace with them, because they won't have it. They won't respond. You've tried your best, as far as it depends upon you, but they're too full of themselves. They won't live at peace with you. Some people think they're born to rule, and they're born to rule you. Some people have so much that they don't need to listen to others. Other people just don't listen to other people. They won't listen to you. Other people think they're always right, and they have to have the last word. Some people know how you should run your life. Other people are just crusty, grouchy miseries who want to make your life and other people's lives a misery too. It's really hard to live at peace with those kind of people. For those kind of people are unbroken people. They're proud people. And the only way that you get to be a peacemaker is if God breaks you, first of all. So Paul and the scriptures here are true to life, isn't it? If it's possible, and as far as it depends on you, live at peace with everyone. But what do you do if someone refuses to live at peace with you and with others? What do you do? Do you give them what for? Do you decide to give them a piece of your own mind? Do you send them a flamethrower text? Do you say, well, I'm just going to do something bad to them because they had it coming? Do you rage at them all over Facebook or social media? What do you do when somebody refuses to live at peace with you, though you're willing to live at peace with them? Well, this is where verse 19 comes in. Do not take revenge, my dear friends, but leave room for God's wrath, as it is written, it is mine to avenge, I will repay. God will make sure justice is done, even though justice might not be done on earth. So don't take revenge. If somebody's refusing to live at peace with you, and if somebody is refusing to acknowledge the hurts that they've done to you, and they won't take the olive leaf that you offer to them, then if you try to take revenge upon them, it only leads to more hurt for you. You'll become bitter and twisted inside, and it will ruin your life. If your life is all about taking revenge upon someone else, it will do your head in, because that's all you'll think about. So do not take revenge. Leave room for God's wrath. God will do the right thing in the long run. And verse 20, what do you do then? On the contrary, don't take revenge, but on the contrary, if your enemy is hungry, laugh at him. And say that. If your enemy is hungry, feed him. If he is thirsty, mock him. No. If he is thirsty, give him something to drink. In doing this, you will heap burning coals on his head. So do good to them. If they're hungry, feed them. If they're thirsty, give them something to drink. Do good to them. Pray for those who despitefully use you. And in doing that, these burning coals are heaped on their head. What does that mean? Well, that's probably means that you just totally embarrass them. And it might even lead to their remorse and ultimately their repentance. But don't take revenge. Love them. Do good to them. You might not feel good about them, but you can do good to them. So verse 21. Do not be overcome by evil. That's the revenge. But overcome evil with good. That's the doing good. So live at peace with people, if it's possible, and as far as it depends upon you. But if they're not responding, don't do them in your head or in your life. Do them good. It will shame them. So try to live at peace with everyone. That person who will vote differently from you at the election coming up. You might not agree with them, but live at peace with them. That person who has a very different view about Brexit to you. You might not agree with them, but live at peace with them. That person who has a very different view of Donald Trump than you, or Boris Johnson, or Jeremy Corbyn. That person, that sometimes things get way out of hand in those kind of arguments and discussion. Live at peace with the person who likes someone that you don't like. If it's possible, and as far as it depends upon you. So don't be the person to wind other people up. Don't be the person to start a Twitter spat, a Facebook argument, or a real-time antagonism. Don't be a storm bringer. Be a peacemaker. Live at peace with everyone. That's the third thing. We come to our fourth, because by now you might be saying, I like the idea of being at peace with God, and I like the idea of having the peace of God, and it really sounds so nice about living at peace with people, even those I don't agree with. But I'm weak. I can't do it. I need a higher power. I need someone more powerful than me to help me to do these things. So here's our fourth and final thing. Follow the Prince of Peace. Do you know there's an ancient prophecy about Jesus in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 6 that says, unto us a son is born, unto us a son is given, and his name will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. What a great title for Jesus, the Prince of Peace. The Prince of Peace commands peace. He reigns over peace. He's peace himself. He's the Prince of Peace. And that was Jesus. You look at his life, you read his life in the Gospels, and you'll see just how much at peace he was. Well, everybody was raging against him, trying to kill him, literally trying to kill him. What does he say? Father, forgive them. When they're plucking out his beard and spitting in his face, he keeps his peace. In the Sea of Galilee, when the storm is raging and the boat is sinking and the disciples are frantic, Jesus is at peace. When the crowds are around him and this woman creeps through the crowd to touch the hem of his garment, Jesus stops everyone and says, who touched me? Such peace in our Savior. In Gethsemane, when they came with clubs and swords and sticks to arrest him, this gang of people to arrest the Prince of Peace. When that happened, what did Jesus do? He just stood up and says, I'm he. What a peaceful man, the Prince of Peace. He created peace in the most amazing way by dying to bring people together. And if you follow him, it is as you follow him that you become a person of peace, a peacemaker. It's when we are not following him that we're not at peace with God, we don't have the peace with God, and we start creating arguments and falling out with other people on social media or real life. No, but when you're following Jesus, something mysterious happens. As you follow him, he gives you his Holy Spirit. And his Holy Spirit lives in you and transforms you, transforms your character. We don't know how that happens, but it happens. Jesus once gave the example of you put a seed into the ground and you leave it and you can forget all about it. And whether you're asleep or whether you're awake, day or night, that seed begins to grow. We don't know how. And that's what it is with our characters. As the Spirit works within us, he mysteriously begins to change us so that we actually do become peaceful people, because God's Spirit is a powerful spirit. And there are examples of that. The man who wrote Romans, we know as the Apostle Paul. Before he became the Apostle Paul, he was known as Saul of Tarsus. And he was an angry, agitated, hostile man. And he actually went out of his way to persecute Christians. He actually killed some Christians. He killed them. God broke into his life. Paul became at peace with God. He received the peace of God. He sought to live at peace with people. He became a peacemaker. And he wrote Romans and other parts of our New Testament. Many of the New Testament documents are written by Paul. This man, who was a man of war, became a man of peace through God's Spirit working in him as he followed Jesus. Quite a few years ago, I went to hear a man called Nicky Cruz. Nicky Cruz was the kind of a gang member in New York in the late 1960s, early 1970s. He terrorized the streets with a mayhem of violence. He did some terrible things, did this Nicky Cruz. But God worked in his life. You can read his book in Run, Baby, Run. God worked in his life powerfully, changed that man into a peacemaker. So now Nicky Cruz is 80 years old, and he's still a peacemaker. Because God has worked powerfully in his life. There are terrorists who are now people of peace because they follow Jesus and receive the Spirit of God to change them. So if we want to be a peacemaker, then we need to be at peace with God. We need to receive the peace of God. We need to seek to live at peace with all people. And we need to follow Jesus Christ, who will change us as we follow him. And then your experience will be blessed. And your identity will be a child of God. Decide today, on this Remembrance Sunday, that from now on you will follow the Prince of Peace and be a peacemaker so that other people might be grateful for your life. Let's pray together.